Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. The number of complex issues facing Northumberland County staff and politicians is huge. For them, it's like a juggler trying to keep running chainsaws in the air. Affordable housing, a viable workforce, economic support for businesses, tourism, agriculture, homelessness, internet connectivity, and the list goes on. For the juggler, the trick is trying to keep it all in the air. That means the juggler has to be focused. For the county, the focus is the strategic plan. In this interview, you're going to hear from Dan Borowick, Director of Economic Development, Planning, and Strategic Initiatives, and Kate Campbell, Director of Communications. They're going to share what people have been saying about these major issues as the county reaches out to get the public's opinion. It will also give insight into a whole host of things you may think you know about and a lot more that you don't. I am pleased to welcome two key staffers from Northumberland County, Dan Borowick, Director of Economic Development, Planning, and Strategic Initiatives, and Kate Campbell, the Director of Communications. Welcome to both of you to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Housing seems to be on everyone's lips these days when we talk about the things that need to be addressed in Northumberland County. We have a homelessness crisis. We have an affordability crisis. We have employers saying they can't hire anyone because there's nowhere for their employees to live. It seems like a core issue going forward. I want to start off by finding out, what are you hearing from the public and your focus groups that makes sense to you and is an actionable item so that people listening can feel like something concrete is going to happen in a timely way to move the needle on this such an important issue? Who'd like to start?
So I think what this strategic planning process, where we've been reaching out to the community in the development of this plan, has reinforced is that housing and homelessness are some of the top concerns for the community. So rather than revealing that that is new, of course, what this process has done is continue to confirm that that is what is at the top of people's minds. And so people are interested in removing red tape. You know, people are interested in some creative solutions, like smaller units, like multi-generational housing. These are some of the recommendations that we've heard from the community to tackle this challenge. And of course, our council and our community partners and the county have been working on just that. We want to make sure that we have a community that has a range of safe and affordable housing solutions. There is a challenge in our community and across Ontario. It will take time to address, but we are investing a great deal of resources, time, and money to try and bring some solutions to this community.
Well, I guess, Dan, let me ask you this then. We've seen this as a priority in previous, as Kate referred to, that we've seen this kind of thing identified before. What are you hearing that's specific then that is actionable, that can be integrated into a strategic plan?
Well, specifically, especially with the type of dialogue we have with numerous associations, workforce and labor force concerns are a priority with what we've been hearing, and we've been hearing that over the course of the last 18 months. In particular, what is a most concerning from the various groups that we've spoken with is the inability to attract talent, primarily because any form of what we're calling workforce housing is currently unattainable. Mm-hmm. And so our step forward in that has been to look at a couple of best practice models and then modify them to apply to Northumberland. The one we've chosen is based on a Calgary model known as Attainable Housing Calgary. From our perspective, we've termed this initiative Northumberland Workforce Housing. And the way that model works is that we're looking at utilizing land that is currently being underutilized or unused by the various lower tiers, and going forward to those lower tiers, speaking to their councils and reaching an agreement on securing that land at no cost. Part of our workforce housing initiative involves the acquisition of land, and then the next step is dealing specifically with developers to see where and what they might be able to put on that land at a cost that's reasonable for workforce. There are a couple of conditions attached to this. We're hoping that the price point for that housing will be such that a working couple can afford to purchase the home. We'll take an active role in that. We've already had discussions with financial institutions about support and what type of income that would require. And we've had quite a number of discussions with the development community as to how they could make it work from their end. So most recently, council approved the creation of a municipal service corporation within the county dedicated specifically to workforce housing. So we're on the move with that, Rob, and we feel that what we can do is have something in a workable state by the late fall of this year and start to move on that. You know, an issue has always been the cost of land. If there's a land that is available, the utilization of that land or the donation of that land by lower tiers means that those lower tiers will benefit not only by workforce, but also the residential taxes that come with that land. To the developer, it adjusts what the selling price of a home can be, considering the land is being offered up as part of the package. So we spent a fair amount of time working this through. We think we have a model. We'll introduce the model to the general public in detail, hopefully by late August.
And to be clear, when Dan's saying lower tiers, that would be the lower tier municipalities. So the seven municipalities that comprise Northumberland County.
I understand, though. I mean, that's great, and it's so much like what the county does. It takes a lot. There's a timeline involved, and there's a lot of organization. And you've already described incredible amount of resources and time being put in just to get this in place, let alone start to actually try and implement it. And it sounds, you know, timelines are critical. And I understand that there are people working in Brighton that live in Trenton. And there are community initiatives for volunteers to transport these people back and forth. I'm also aware that there are employers who are literally bringing busloads of workers into Northumberland County or around Northumberland County for this employment. So what can be done now in terms of a solution or as part of a strategic plan that can address these kinds of issues? Dan, why don't I'll come back to you, and then I'll go to Kate.
Sure. Well, I guess from a strategic plan perspective, the intent behind the strategic plan is that we've certainly validated what we're finding is we're certainly validating all these issues with the various groups that we are speaking to, and the information that's come forward with us. So I think, you know, that what the strategic plan does is form the basis for county council support in both recognizing the need and recognizing the urgency in moving our efforts into this as being a priority. From the strategic plan, our aim is certainly to create some very, very specific actionable items. But I agree with you. It takes time to build put the infrastructure in place to get this going, but the real reality is if we don't put this type of infrastructure in place to get it going, we'll always be patchwork. It's very hard to attract individuals if all we have is potentially some transitional housing solution, which is only short term. We really are looking for stability. You know, the development community already has models of the type of housing we're talking about, which is either row or stacked town housing, townhouses. We're close. We're very, very close. This strategic planning process is very, very much the validation of that. And yes, I agree with you. We have, you know, we have buses being coming into community to bring workforce on a daily basis. We have transportation issues that make the situation even more precarious. But the reality is, until we move forward with some all the pieces in place, and we're moving on that exceptionally quickly. This workforce housing initiative is about 6 months in. We've moved very, very quickly and got it to a point where, you know, when you have developers, financing, and structure in play, next step is shovels in the ground.
Yeah, Kate, Dan used the word transition, which leads into, I think, the next area that I'd like to explore, and that is homelessness. What suggestions or ideas are you getting at the county that makes sense to act beyond what is already happening? Are you hearing anything that's new or innovative?
Our community is very engaged. We have a very engaged community in Northumberland, and lots of suggestions. There's lots of dialogue happening in the community, so we're not at a loss for recommendations, of course, and for a willingness to collaborate on this issue. But again, what this process has done has been validating the need that exists and the work that is required, rather than necessarily new ideas. There is a lot of work being done in this space, a lot of investment happening. The county has doubled investments in the homelessness system, more than doubled for 2023, and is investing over $10 million in property tax dollars a year on the housing side of the spectrum. So work is ongoing, but we also recognize that there is a healthcare issue that exists in the community that is contributing to homelessness, and that requires an integrated solution of mental health and physical health supports with homelessness system supports. And that, of course, requires collaboration between different levels of government, because while the county, of course, and its community partners are responsible, accountable, and working for the homelessness system, healthcare is a provincial issue. So we are prepared to work and are working with our provincial partners and with our healthcare partners. And we are advocating strongly for that integrated solution if we're going to be able to resolve homelessness in the community. We recognize there's a significant healthcare component that's going to be required as we move forward.
Has the county spoken to people with lived experience when they're doing these consultations?
Yes. So in the fall, currently and over the last several months, the county has been reviewing the emergency shelter system in Northumberland for homelessness. And this has included this past fall some focus grouping with individuals with lived experience to understand their perspectives and needs with respect to the emergency shelter system and what is required in terms of homelessness supports. And that feedback will be an important component of this process and will be integrated into that strategic plan.
Tourism is a major pillar in the local economy. What are you hearing from tourism operators and related businesses about what's needed to be included in the strategic plan?
Sure. Our approach has been to assist tourism operators with the development of new products within their purview, or to enhance what they are already doing in terms of ways in which we can directly assist them for that. If anything, it's not the advent of new ideas or new product development. The real challenge for tourism operators is talent and acquiring folks who are a workforce to help them move forward, which gets us back to, in order to have workforce, we need housing. And without housing, we can't attract talent. You know, it's a bit of a vicious circle. And I think what we're trying to overcome is the sort of, well, there's one answer for all of this. You know, we just need, let's increase our immigration levels and that'll take care of our workforce problem. Yeah, but all it does is create other challenges in other areas. To really attract a new Canadian workforce, there has to be a way to establish new Canadians themselves as a community. And if they can't establish themselves within community, there's no reason for them to actually want to stay in a rural setting. And part of the large drive now with Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship Canada is to make that push of new Canadians not city-centric, but rural-centric in many ways to try and renew communities. So that's sort of the third pillar that we're also working on at this point in time to try and to round things out. But once again, it's connected to housing.
Well, just to build on that point of interconnectedness, I mean, agriculture is in the same boat, is it not? They talk about the need for labor and in order to be sustainable themselves. But at the same time, I mean, there may be some people that are worried about things, for example, in terms of agriculture, about loss of farmland to development. And, you know, when you talk about having housing, you know, where are we going to put it? Is there anything in the strategic planning process that's going to address these kinds of concerns that agriculture has beyond labor?
Yeah, it's the largest contributor to the Northumberland economy. It's agriculture, tourism, and manufacturing are the 1, 2, 3 in Northumberland, and with the agricultural community in particular, one of the things that they require most is connectivity, and so the whole broadband initiative to put, you know, real connectivity into the unserved or underserved areas is one of the ways that they can achieve some of the efficiencies they require, and the dialogue is certainly there between, our settlement services and the work we do there and the agricultural community. We currently have somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 or 250 migrant workers currently involved in the ag community. And certainly there are ways in which to potentially maybe resolve some of the seasonality issues that exist there. As part of what we're looking at is, you know, we have seasonal workers who, with some legislative adjustment, could also then be the same group of individuals who would gladly take on frontline manufacturing roles over the course of the non-agricultural season to remain in Northumberland, because it gives them some sense of consistency and some regularity of income. It solves a manufacturing problem. It solves an agricultural problem. So, you know, we're on that as well.
Kate, the county's population is close to 50% seniors. What are you hearing on this front?
Yes, I mean, that has certainly come up. And is something that we are aware of, and that there is supports in the community, or the importance of having supports in the community as our population ages. We're also seeing an influx of young families into the community that have, you know, a varying concern from our senior population. But to ensure that we're supporting our seniors to live well and age well at home, in their home, in Northumberland, in terms of whether that's keeping things affordable from a housing perspective. Healthcare is an issue that, you know, while does not immediately pertain to the county's area of responsibility, is certainly parallel to the work that we're doing. We're thinking of our community paramedicine program for long-term care, for example. We've seen a significant uptake in that program and in the supports that are available there. The county is responsible for municipal long-term care services. So there is a thread of support for aging well and living well at home as our population ages. That is a significant concern and interest for the county as we develop this strategic plan.
And internet is another pillar that is needed for the county to flourish. And I know the county is working hard to get plans in place to expand. What needs to be included in the strategic plan that might help residents and businesses be patient and knowing that it's going to arrive? What should they look for in the strategic plan that's going to assure them that this is going to be addressed and addressed in a timely way?
I think we're at a place with broadband where our sort of timeline for shovel in the ground and how ready we are and what it means and how it will be laid out over the course of the next 30 months is well in hand. Our hope is that we will have shovels in the ground by September. We are that close, and I think what you will find in the strategic plan is two things. One, that sort of overall detail as to how it will move forward with date, time, and capacity. But also what you'll find in the strategic plan is an indication of what that can mean in terms of sort of transforming Northumberland in many ways, and our next sort of step in the process is what type of applications should we start being made available, and what we can inform community about as to how they can utilize those services through applications that support not only economic growth but all aspects of community from healthcare to energy, to entertainment, to culture, to education.
Kate, the county is reaching out to the public to get input into the strategic plan through various methods. Can you quickly describe what has been done and then where we're going from here in terms of consultations if listeners want to get their two cents in?
Yes. So we have really tried to make this process as accessible as possible so that in the end, we have a strategic plan that is built on shared priorities. So for example, we have engaged all members of county council, as well as a broad spectrum of county staff across our operations in discussion to source their feedback. We have a community questionnaire circulating we have drop boxes at 15 locations across Northumberland for hard copy versions. It's just a very brief 3-question survey. And we also have an online version of that. And we've seen over 200 responses so far, as well as 700 individuals who have visited that project page to learn more. Now, in addition to that, we've had our outreach team out in the community for the last 2 weekends at farmers markets, at libraries, at the Warkworth Lilac Festival, where they've connected with around 1,000 individuals, either, you know, drawing their feedback down on site or providing them with information on how to access the details on the project page. And then finally, Rob, we've also done some focus grouping. So our outreach team spoke with young families at the Coburg Early On Center last weekend. We hosted a roundtable yesterday with some community development organizations to understand their perspectives. And then we're hosting a youth roundtable this afternoon. In addition to that, you know, the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland also hosted focus groups last year as part of their strategic planning process. The county was a part of that work. And so the work coming out of that related to health and wellness priorities for the community, and in particular, those social determinants of health, that feedback will be integrated. So there are many components to this process that will be consolidated to produce a plan that we hope does reflect the priorities and needs of the community. Now, we did launch community consultation on May the 9th. That consultation will conclude at the end of this week, but there is still time for people to either visit any of those hard copy locations or visit our website to share their feedback online. And that's at joinin.northumberland.ca. And we welcome feedback from the community to make this a robust process.
And if they add maybe a day or two after, you'll still be listening?
We have a big job ahead of us to start to consolidate all of the different inputs that we've had to this process. But I imagine that if feedback happens to trickle in, of course, that would be considered and added to that process.
Dan Borowick, Kate Campbell, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for sharing all this information with your listeners.
That was Dan Borwick, Director of Economic Development, Planning, and Strategic Initiatives, and Kate Campbell, Director of Communications. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.